Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Good to have you here with us, and so exciting to hear about the Ironman stuff happening. It's going well so far, I guess, and it's going to be a big, huge event happening here. Another thing that's been happening in Juno this past year, last summer, the Shei Chachit House opened up. That's Tlingit for the Spruce Root House, and it now offers shelter for runaways and young people without a place to call home. And after a year in operation, it's still in the startup mode a little bit, but trying to raise awareness about how this important new resource can serve the community. And joining us right now to give us an update on the new shelter is Jordan Nigro, who is the Zach Gordon Youth Center Youth Services Manager for the City and Borough of Juneau. Jordan, how are you? Good to see you.
Hi, Andy. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good to have you here. Jordan is joining us via Zoom. And tell us a little bit about this first year of the, I hope I'm coming close to the correct pronunciation, but the Shei Chachit House.
Yeah, Shei Chachit. Yeah, we're all still practicing, but it means Spruce Root House. And Shei Chachit opened about a year ago now, so we have six beds and six bedrooms in the shelter side, and then there's also an apartment side, which is four bedrooms, and that's a little bit more for transition-aged youth, so 18 to 21, and then on the shelter side, the ages are 10 to 18.
And so tell me about just a little bit more about some of the goals that are around that.
The
first year of operation, some of the things you've kind of learned along the way.
Yeah. So we, the shelter is for runaway and homeless youth. So we work with a lot of youth who, maybe are in transition, who have run from home, but we work with them to get reunited with their family. For some youth, we have had some older youth come in who are close to 18 and they might stay with us at shelter until they turn 18 and then move into the apartment. We've had that happen a couple of times. The idea is just to make sure there is a safe place for kids so they don't put themselves in unsafe situations when they need a place to be. And so in this way, we can kind of wrap some services around them, connect them with behavioral health supports if that's what they need, connect the family with family counseling. Some kids we might see, we have some kids that we see every few months so far, like we've seen them a few times. And that's okay. If they run from home and they have a safe place to land and the family gets to know us and we're working together to sort of, keep those times when they run farther and farther apart, and keep the family from, experiencing more crisis, help them to have less crisis. I think, that one of the great things that we're finding so far is that one of our primary referral sources have been kids. So kids are referring other kids, which I think is about like the best we could possibly ask for. And we want other folks, we want everybody to know, of course, but the fact that kids are telling other kids about the services means that they are like and are happy with the services, which is really important.
It sort of speaks to a level of trust that they have. As a layperson approaching this, it just seems like, boy, there couldn't be anything more important than that. To have that trust among the population of people that you're trying to serve.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we have, so far, I think the number, it's something like 70% of the youth we've served self-identify as LGBTQ, and a large percentage of those youth identify as trans. And so, some of that is like, helping them to communicate with their family how they're feeling about things. And, so sometimes that can, but that's Juno. I think Juno is a little better than the national numbers around that. But there are a lot of trans youth in particular who, get kicked out of their houses or can't live there. It's not a safe place. So we are seeing those trends here in Juneau too, and Yeah, and then we have some, older teens who have come to us where the whole family might be homeless. And it just is, too much for the older teen to be with the whole family in the hotel. And so they come to the shelter, by choice to feel like they're in a, just a more stable setting. It's hard to live in a hotel with an entire family.
Yeah, it makes me. It's sort of what you when you mentioned, you kind of have different living situations within the house, and so there's an apartment there. Now that apartment is meant for a kind of longer term, or how is that?
Yeah, so the apartment we've had so far, I didn't actually, I probably should have printed off these numbers about the apartment, but I didn't. But we've had I think we've had youth in the apartment for like a month up to, I think our longest apartment stay at this point has been about 6 months. So, it'll really vary. And the idea of the apartment is to be, more transitional. Most of the youth that are there are, working or going to the university. Like right now, we don't have any students there. But we have, and we also have, we've had kids in their senior year of high school living there who are 18. We help them to get jobs and just to gain, independent living skills so that they can go out into the world on their
Yeah,
own,
that's the part I was going to ask about. What are some of the tools that you use to help people go from this situation of needing services and needing a place to getting to long term? They're in a stable environment and they're able to kind of start them on their life journey of, living in a healthy way.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, what we really try to focus on is to be real trauma sensitive and to be, meet each kid where they're at. So it kind of looks different for every youth that comes in. Our big focus is connection and relationship. We really, really work on that. So one of the things that we really always want to do is figure out with that youth, what are your natural connections in the community, because most kids do have a support system, right?
Some sort of support system, but it's fallen through the
Yeah,
cracks for the time being or something like that. Yeah.
right. And maybe there's some person that they really like connect with at school that like, a teacher or someone in their life that they look up to that we can help sort of bring that person in a little more to their life and get them more connected and set up more natural supports. We have this project as is a partnership with Tlingit Haida Regional Housing Authority. So they manage the building and we run the program. And then we have another partnership with them, which is a rapid rehousing program. So we have support for youth who are 18 to 24 to be in their own apartments in the community. And so that program, like we've had a couple of youth live in the apartment for a short time, work with us to find an apartment in the community, and then through a grant that Tlingit Haida Regional Housing Authority has from HUD, the rent on that apartment is paid for the youth, and we provide the supportive services so the kids can learn how do you talk to your landlord about, if you want to get a cat? How do you talk to your landlord about this leaky pipe under the sink? It's okay to ask someone. We sort of teach with them. And one of the things that we do with that program is our navigators go over and have dinner with them and bring we do a thing when they move into housing. Some of you, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you've probably seen me post little GoFundMe, not GoFundMes, but little meal trains that are like, hey, we just moved a new youth into housing. And so we set up a thing where we deliver dinner to that kid for or young person for, a week or so, like every other night. And
Just
the
one less
community
thing for
brings
them to have to worry about.
just
And yeah, right.
exactly. And like it's all those sorts of things when, when my friends move into new houses, I like to do that for them,
Sure.
right? So
Yeah.
like one of the things we're really trying to do with this program is just really make it as community-based as possible and really connect kids to resources so that it's not all through us. You know, if they need to get counseling, we connect them to counseling. If they, you know, if they have spiritual, like if they're into going to church, we like help them to connect there, you know, whatever it is, cultural connections, we do all, we make sure kids are connected in that way. I think, you know, none of us, no matter like who we are or what our situation is, are surviving in a vacuum. And so this is something we talk with the kids a lot about, is like, what are your natural supports when you're around this person? How do you feel? Do you enjoy time with them? Like, what do you enjoy doing outside of this space, you know, and try to really help them identify the things that, you know, where they feel lifted up.
Are there specific problems that you see kind of trending or that sort of thing with the youth in Juneau that kind of end up needing these services?
Well, you know, I think that, I mean, as I was mentioning, I think we definitely see a high percentage of trans youth. So I think that's an ongoing.
And that's just a thing where people are they're transitioning and they don't feel like they're in an environment where that's accepted or tolerated or anything like
So we do see that. I think, you know, housing in Juneau is difficult, and so as it is kind of everywhere right now. And so I think for a lot of families, even just people are not able to find places to live right now. And so that, you know, if that is impacting folks who can afford housing, you can imagine how that is for people who are on the, you know, skirts of being able to afford a place in Juneau anyway. Now there's just nothing.
Yeah, and just to have one of those basic life things of having safe shelter as a foundation to be able to then, you know, grow and do the rest of the hard things we need to do in life.
Do you
feel like you're able to? This is going to be kind of a dumb question, but do you feel like you're sort of able to meet the needs, or is there an ocean of problems out there, or do you feel like this is really making a dent?
Oh, Andy, that's a good question. You know, I think that, I mean, like I was saying, I feel really good that kids are referring other kids. So that makes me feel like we are definitely, I feel like the kids who are accessing our services, we are being able to meet their needs. We've had real good feedback from families. We've had real good feedback from youth. I definitely still think there are people that don't know we exist. So we're just trying to, we're always, and that will kind of, I think, always be a thing, because some of these services, until you need them, you don't know they exist.
And so you're young, you know, I mean,
also very new.
I think, you're new, but I'm also thinking of the people you serve.
Right.
I think of all the things I didn't know when I was young.
And how
hard it is to feel like you could reach out and find things. So I do think, boy, what you said about friends of theirs, you know, peers, referring other peers is such an important thing. And really, it's a real feather in your cap that's happening, Jordan. So it's really, that's definitely a measure of success of the program.
Yeah, we have great staff. They are really doing a wonderful job with the youth. You know, it's an extension of this place, of Zach Gordon Youth Center, right? So like that, I think we have a real culture of accepting kids here, and whoever you are welcome to be here. And that's been the case for generations. And I think it has carried forth into this program, and it's just really awesome. Like when you walk in, it feels very warm and welcoming. And I think that's been, it's been really good and had an impact. So
how has the summer been at Zach Gordon? I mean,
couple of Zach Gordon things I wanted to make sure to share. Things here have been busy, and, you know, as with everyone else in the world, we are short-staffed. So we have actually one full-time, really important job here at Zach Gordon, a youth development leader 2. It is posted through Monday. This will be the third time, I believe, we've posted the job. So if you are interested, you should really apply. I mean, not you particularly, Andy, but like you could if you wanted.
Yeah, you know, I've done lots of things.
But if you're listening and you want to work with kids, it is super fun. The benefits at CBJ are, of course, great. And it's a really, really good place to work. We have a lot of fun. So today we had our Youth Employment and Parks graduation, which was great. And Christine Wall from the Assembly came over, and Rory Watt came over, the city manager, and talked to the kids. It was really fun. This is year 7 of Youth Employment and Parks, which is a partnership with SAIL and Department of Labor. And this year, Trail Mix helped us a bunch. And so it just keeps growing and it's great. We have so much fun. And then the two things that are coming up that I really wanted to mention, just last night, we had our first trans student support group, and that is for trans youth 12 through 19, and Koru Counseling is, Margie Thompson is running the group. You do have to sign up for it. It's not drop-in, but we have been working with NAMI. There are, you know, there's no cost for the group. They've been helping with fundraising for that. If you are interested in participating, you can email Margie at Koru Counseling, Koru Counseling, Counseling, @gmail.com. Or you can email us here. You can email, our contact for that is Ty Shea, our supervisor here, ty.shae@juno.org. And those two are the main contacts for the paperwork. If you are under 16, you do need parental permission to come to the group. And if you are over 16, you can sign yourself up. But it is, like I said, it's not drop-in. So, and that happens the third Thursday of every month. Last night was our first one, which was fourth Thursday, but that was a one-off. Rest of the time, it'll be the third Thursday of every month. It's in the Wellness Center here at ZAC. And then the other thing that we have coming up at ZAC that is fun and new this year is a trans student self-advocacy workshop, which we have worked with the Juno School District and, again, NAMI. NAMI's been our main partners on this project. Ty Shea, our coordinator here, and Merrill, one of the staff at Zach Gort or at NAMI, the two of them have worked really hard to like reach out to all of the schools, middle schools and high schools, to figure out, you know, if you're at school and you need to know where all gender bathrooms are, where are they? If you want to get your name changed, how do you do that? Like all of these things. And so some school district staff will be here, and Ty and Merrill will be here. Aiden Key will be here to talk with the youth. And so that is open to anyone. It's drop-in. It's August 6th from 3 to 5, coming up next Saturday here. So they made little booklets for the high schoolers, and they're making little booklets for the middle schoolers that are like, have all the information in them. It's really, really great work, and I'm just so excited about it. So
it's cool. You guys are always at Zach Gordon. You're always stepping that next step to try to make sure that you're serving people. And obviously, that's why it's been around for so long, and it's such a great resource for the youth here in Juneau, and for everyone who takes advantage of it. Well, Jordan Nigro at Zach Gordon Youth Center, thanks so much for keeping us up to date on what's happening, Zach Gordon, but also the update on the youth shelter after its first year of operation. Congratulations on 1 year under the belt, and it sounds like it's really serving people, and you're doing great work. So thank you, Jordan, so
awesome.
Much for coming
Thanks,
in
Andy.
And letting us know what's happening at Zach Gordon and at the youth shelter. Appreciate it.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.